This is the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Budget Committee meeting. We are meeting virtually and in person at the Kiawanda Community Center, Faye Jensen's room. It is May 19th, 2026. It is 5 p.m. I'm going to call the roll. Director Starotska.
Here.
Director Anderson.
Here.
Director Doyle.
Here.
Director Shoemaker.
Here.
Director Donahue. Here. Scott Culp. Absent. Bill Height. Absent. Karen Matthews. Absent. Gary Link. Absent. Mark Miller.
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum, so we will now discuss the Budget Committee officer elections. Nominations are open at this point for chair.
I nominate Dan Doyle.
Oof.
Okay, are there any other nominations?
Oh.
Hearing none. Hearing none, we'll vote on chair. All those present signify by saying aye for Dan Doyle as chair. Aye.
Aye.
Any negative? Motion carried. Pass the gavel, please.
Don't hurt yourself.
So now you
anybody else here?
Now we have nominations for secretary.
Okay, nominations are open for secretary.
What does the secretary do?
The secretary gets to sign the minutes. You don't have to write the minutes, you just get to sign them. You have no other duties, I promise.
I nominate Mark Miller.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Can I do that? I'll call you when they're ready.
I can sign them, yeah.
I second that motion, or that nomination.
Okay. Now we're doing secretary.
All
in favor for Mark Miller, secretary?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. How'd that? I didn't get
wrong. That worked.
It was perfect.
Do you have an agenda?
Yeah, you leave the meeting.
I don't know where my agenda is.
So now.
So is that all the officers?
That's all the officers, yep. And then typically we would start going through the packet, so then you could talk about the Budget Committee duties and responsibilities, and then move to the message and ask John to
slow down.
Give a summary.
Slow down. Okay. So we got the chair, we got the secretary, we're on to item four of the agenda, and that is budget proposal discussion. Can I just read it?
You can, yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay, so budget committee duties and responsibilities, all members of the budget committee, whether elected or appointed, have the same degree of authority and responsibility. Committee hears the budget message, receives the budget document, hears public testimony, and announces the times for any additional meetings. Minutes of the budget committee meeting must be kept and made available to anyone upon request. All official action of the committee requires a majority vote of the members present at a meeting. To conduct business, the committee must have a quorum present. A quorum is equal to one member more than half the total budget committee. At its first meeting, the budget committee must elect a chairperson, done, secretary, done, from along among its members and receive the budget document and budget message from the budget officer. Once a chairperson is elected, the person controls the agenda and runs the meeting. The budget committee reviews and, if necessary, revises the budget, proposed budget. The committee may approve the budget at its first meeting. The duties of the committee are complete once they approve the budget.
Okay.
And we'll pass it off to the authority manager, John.
For the annual budget message, I usually just read this verbatim. It is the budget message, and just to get the words on record, It's only 2.5 pages. It won't take long, but I usually do read this verbatim, so bear with me as I recite this. Budget message, May 19, 2026. The Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority budget is comprised of 6 separate funds and is proposed in a format that facilitates transparency and sound financial management. It is our intention to submit and manage the budget in the most open and straightforward manner possible, which will promote consistent and careful management of all resources. The budget process is as such. The preparation of a budget begins with input from staff members and the board. This input, coupled with a projection of authority reserves, revenues, and expenditures, provides a sound basis for effective financial management. The 5-member budget committee and the PCJWSA board of directors meet publicly to review the budget documents as proposed by the budget officer. The budget committee reviews the proposed budget and either revises the proposed figures or approves them as presented. Once the budget committee approves the budget, it is then published in summary form in a local newspaper of general circulation. On June 9, 2026, a public hearing will be held to obtain additional ratepayer comments. Publication of a budget summary in the newspaper is required. At the advertised public hearing, the board will hear public testimony regarding the proposed budget previously approved by the budget committee. The board of directors will formally adopt the budget by resolution on June 23, 2026. Appropriations lapse at the end of each fiscal year. There are 2 methods by which Oregon budget law allows the authority's budget to be updated in the case of unforeseen or unexpected circumstances. The board may authorize supplemental appropriations during the year by adopting a supplemental budget. This procedure requires public hearings, newspaper publications, and approval by the board. The second alternative is to transfer budgeted amounts within a fund. These budget transfers must be adopted by a resolution of the board of directors. A summary of the PCJWSA funds. PCJWSA operates with 6 separate funds. Those funds are as follows. The 002 Master Plan Fund, the 003 Bonded Debt Fund, I should probably say 004 Sewer System Development Charge, STC/Capital Improvement Charge, CIC Fund, 005 Water System Development Charge, STC/Capital Improvement Charge, CIC Fund, 104 Sewer Operation and Maintenance O&M Fund, and the 105 Water Operation and Maintenance O&M Fund. In the 26-27 budget analysis, we have included the 25-26 year-to-date actual revenues and expenses through April 30th, 2026. The requested, approved, and adopted columns have been removed as they have not been used in the past. The Master Plan Fund, which is Fund 002, this fund was serving as the Master Plan Fund for the wastewater treatment plant improvements. This fund was closed at the beginning of the 21-22 fiscal year, and the money was transferred to the 003 Fund for wastewater treatment plant revenue bond debt. The Bonded Debt Fund, 003, this fund is used to service the debt on the May 2007 general obligation bond. During fiscal year 26-27, PCJWSA will levy $366,000 in property taxes. During the beginning of the 21-22 fiscal year, PCJWSA moved the debt service for the USDA loan for the wastewater treatment plant upgrade from Fund 002 to Fund 003. The working capital comes from wastewater treatment plant capital improvement charges. That's the wastewater treatment plant CICs that begin in fiscal year 15-16 and currently range from $8.50 for residential and nonprofit users up to $123.25 per month for some large commercial accounts. The sewer system development charge capital improvement charge fund, Fund 004, is used for financing sewer capital improvements and is not used for day-to-day operational expenses. The fund's main sources of revenue are system development charges, also known as sewer connection fees and capital improvement charges, which are included in monthly utility bills. PCJWSA's ASDCs are adjusted on July 1st each year based on the Engineering News Record Construction Cost Index. To reduce the potential impacts of short-term market volatility in our SDC rate structure, we average the previous four quarters to determine our annual rate adjustments. This calculation method indicates we should increase our SDC rates by 2.74% for the next fiscal year. For this budget cycle, we projected the need for 10 new sewer service connections. The current budget, which is fiscal year 25-26, authorizes a CIC of $5 per user per month. We are proposing no increase for the fiscal year 26-27 budget. The last fund, Almost last fund. Water System Development Charge Capital Improvement Charge Fund, which is Fund 005, is used for financing water capital improvements and is not used for day-to-day operational expenses. Again, this fund's main sources of revenue are system development charges, in this case water connection fees, and capital improvement charges that are included in the monthly bill. As with the 004 fund, the 005 fund, or the SDCs are adjusted on July 1st each year based on the Engineering News Cost Record. And again, that our calculation method determines that those rates should increase by 2.74% for the next fiscal year. For this budget cycle, we have projected the need for 10 new water service connections. The current budget, fiscal year 25-26, authorizes a CIC of $3 per user per month. We are proposing no increase for the fiscal 26-27 budget. So then we have the sewer and water operations and maintenance funds, funds 104 and 105. These funds are used to pay the day-to-day operating expenses of the authority. These items include labor, office expenses, solid waste disposal, insurance, electricity, transportation costs, replacements of valves and fittings, etc. The 104 and 105 fund expenses are paid for with monthly water and sewer user fees. Monthly user fees must be high enough to ensure that all day-to-day operating expenses are adequately funded. Some highlights to note in the 104 and 105 funds for fiscal year 25-26, which is our current fiscal year. Revenue is up in the 104 fund by 2.95% and 3.3% in the 105 fund. This is to be expected with last year's rate increase. Payroll-related expenses are up about 19.5% in the 104 fund and 12.8% in the 105 fund. This is primarily due to elevated insurance rates, certification, and merit increases. Material and supplies expenses increased in the 104 fund by 8.6% and the 105 fund by 9.4%. We are proposing for the 26-27 fiscal year the following. We have been notified by SDIS that our medical insurance will increase by 6.5%, and there is also the need to hire a new authority manager. In addition, we are expecting the price for parts, materials, supplies, and services to increase again during the next fiscal year. Therefore, we are proposing an 11.5% increase to our sewer service rates for the 26-27 fiscal year.
Okay, thank you, John.
Almost. The proposed budget for the fiscal year 25-26 marks a continuation of the authority's financial policies and accounting principles of the fiscal year. The fiscal year 25-26 budget is summarized as follows. Master Plan 002 Fund, $3,409,855. The bonded debt fund, 003, 996. Oh, no, that was $0 for the 002 fund, I'm sorry. The bonded debt fund, the 003, is $3,409,855. Sanitary SDC fund, 004, is $996,680. The water SDC fund, 005, $2,196,398. The sewer O&M fund, 104, $1,403,084. The water O&M fund 105 is $1,228,450, with the total of all funds being $9,234,467. In conclusion, PCJWSA has faced many financial challenges during the previous fiscal year, including inflation, supply chain issues, funding capital improvement projects, and maintaining aging infrastructure. Balancing these needs by managing our resources efficiently and passing increased operating costs to our customers is critical to our future financial well-being. PCJWSA continues to address these challenges with integrity, resourcefulness, and fiscal responsibility, which we believe are reflected in this fiscal year 26-27 budget. And that is the budget message.
Okay, I'm guessing at this point we have public questions and comments about the budget message.
There's no public, though.
Well, we've got no public. We can go through the budget.
Well, in backing up...
Yeah, if you have questions about budget.
Yeah, the message... the sewer... System Development Charge, Capital Improvement Charge, Fund 004, no increase, and yet...
To the CIC.
To the CIC. Okay. The CIC is paid for by rate users.
Yeah.
Okay. Inflation is 2.4 to 3.6%. 2 to 6% clustering, about 3 to 5% nationally. Mm-hmm. And yet we're not proposing any increase.
For the CIC?
Yes.
We're only allowed to charge $10 a month for CIC charges. In the past, we lowered it to $5 because we just didn't have the need for any additional money. We were getting enough SDCs and whatnot. At increasing it from 5 to 10 per customer over 12 months is not going to give us a significant amount of money at all.
Okay.
And, Rochelle, the CIC is something that we bill our customers monthly, and we bill them on the sewer side $5 per month. Is that right? Okay. It's worth noting that SDC rates did come up pretty substantially as well.
2.74.
That's I think twice the increase we had last year.
Last year was 1.37.
Okay, so we will see some added revenue with that increase. What is the CIC used for? You can use it for system. You can use it for capital improvement projects.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
You can't use it for daily operating expenses.
Correct.
Okay. You have a question.
So. I'm just wondering, we are proposing an 11.5% increase to the sewer service rates, but you're not a...
Last year we raised water rates 22%.
Oh, you said,
and
okay.
And we've spent more in sewer this year than water pretty significantly, so kind of just trying to balance it back out.
Okay.
Unfortunately, with the way that our stuff is structured, especially on the payroll side, depending on where your staff is, if they're in sewer, if they're working in sewer, they have to be paid out of sewer. Mm-hmm. If they're working in water, they have to get out of water. So if we need more people working on water leaks, we're going to have more costs incurred on there. And it's not just payroll related, it's their medical insurance, deferred comp, payroll taxes. Right. All comes out of that one side.
I'd like to make a comment at this time.
Go ahead.
This is a typical a thing where we separate the water and sewer. And that's basically a way we were originally set up, because when we became an authority, there were two separate entities that we brought together, and that was over 20-some years ago, I believe.
That's correct.
One of the things that I, when I talked to the, I did an interview with our new auditing firm, and I asked them, because it's been so long ago that we've merged, and we're splitting paychecks and by taking it from each different fund on operating expenses, as well as system development charges. I can see how you would separate it that way with system development charges. But would it be more efficient and easier to understand our spreadsheet or our basic ledger if we combine both sewer and water into one fund? And I asked our auditors to consider that and to give us not necessarily a recommendation, but what would follow with other similar organizations like ours, with that, whether that would be practical or not.
So we used to have them combined up until 2015, 2016, when we needed the wastewater treatment plant loan, and we had to separate them to be eligible for the USDA loan, because they only wanted the funding to come from sewer revenue, not water revenues.
And that, so that has to stay that way until the loan is paid?
Off. Yeah.
And that loan is
paid off.
2050.
We won't be around.
Soon, very soon.
We won't be there.
It's for someone else to be around.
No kidding.
Far future.
Yeah, it would seem that would be a lot more practical to do it that way.
It was much, much easier to do it that way.
I don't, just getting in the weeds here, I don't know how you separate that unless you have phone time cards that somebody says, I'm clocking in on water, clocking in on sewer.
They've got paper timesheets, and they say, I spent 3 hours at Horn Creek, or I spent 5 hours on a water leak.
Sounds cumbersome.
It is.
It is cumbersome. You know, is another consideration, Rochelle, that although typically what happens is that when somebody develops a property, they want both water and sewer, but we have situations where somebody has only got sewer and only paid a sewer SDC. Is it paid to both the water and sewer SDC?
Yeah, we got quite a few people like that. We have quite a few people that don't have sewer at all, and they just pay water rates every month.
Septic tanks or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. And in a case like that, would that kind of necessitate separate funds for situations like that as well?
I think it makes it a lot cleaner to do it that way.
There's only a few, though, right?
It's not a huge proportion.
10, 15,
well, I was... Since we've had a pretty good track record paying off our bond, I'm wondering if it would be. I wonder if we could have them reconsider that. The bond people.
We've only been paying it for 4 years.
Oh, only four?
Yeah. So we still owe $8 million.
Oh, shoot.
Our go bond will be paid off shortly.
Yeah, we got one more year on the go bond, yep. And that's paid off. But then, for the wastewater treatment plant, we've still got a long time.
Okay, it's not practical to ask them to do that after 4 years.
I've got a couple questions. Mm-hmm. Is this a typo?
Yes,
where
it
says 25-26?
Okay. Yep, I have that circled in my
too. Okay, all right.
The top of page 4, it should say 26-27.
26-27, okay.
And then
there, too.
Well, yep.
Yeah, there as well. Okay, my other question is, I notice there's a big, big difference between the bonded debt fund for this year and the bonded debt from last year.
So one of the biggest things is we don't spend a lot of money out of that, so we've been gaining a lot of interest.
Okay.
And we have the opportunity that we could spend that extra money and bring down our principal a little bit. It would only bring down our principal about $1 million. Or we can leave it in there and continue to collect interest.
Well,
we're making about $25,000 a month.
Okay. Oh, that's good. I did notice that the sanitary fund went down quite a bit.
We spent a lot of money out of it this year, and we did not make very much in SDCs.
Can I ask a question, which is may kind of be dumb, but
no.
I noticed a very big proposed budget for $500,000 for Broughton Way sewer line. That was like
water.
Oh, it's water line. Okay, I thought it was a sewer line. Okay, so is that something that how confident are you that there won't be any cost runs on that? It seemed like a rather round number.
Well, yeah, and that's
a lot of it's a guess. We don't have a lot of it yet.
Oh, okay. So it's your best guess.
Our best guess. We are we're supposed to be getting our engineer's estimate of probable cost.
Okay.
But even that, they have a tendency to inflate those numbers because they'd rather not disappoint.
They'd rather make
you happy by coming in under. Just as an example, the Rupa project that we did a couple years ago, the bid was about $480,000, and our engineers estimated it would be almost twice that much. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So on the low end.
So, you know, even with our engineers' best guess, knowing that they probably pad it with a little bit of contingency. Until we get that, start getting bids on this project,
right.
And we're pretty far along in the planning and all that by then.
Yeah.
Until we get our first bid on this project, it's very difficult for us to know how much it's going to cost.
So I'm not up to speed on this issue. Is this a replacement line or a new line for new development?
Well, it's kind of half and half. Half the project is abandoning an 8-inch AC line, asbestos cement line.
Ooh, yeah.
And just retapping all of the taps on North Broughton from the four-way stop to the Woods Bridge. We would retap all those lines to a 12-inch plastic PVC water main that is already running down that road. So we are already have an 8-inch AC line and a 12-inch C900 line. And right now, all the taps on North Broughton, residential and commercial, are all on the AC line. And we're going to simply abandon that line and retap all those customers onto that 12-inch plastic PVC C900 line. So that's not a replacement. It's just we're switching pipes and going to abandon one. But then the side streets that we're going to do, Shade, Spring, Tent, Camp, Ferry, those streets we will be replacing 2-inch lines with 6-inch lines. And so that will be a replacement of an existing line.
That's the older part of town. How old are those lines?
They're quite old. Actually, the 12-inch C900 main that comes up North Broughton isn't that old, but those residential lines, they're quite a bit older, and they're undersized. I mean, they're only 2-inch, which does not give you adequate flow for fire flows to support fire hydrants or anything else.
We're going to add fire hydrants.
We're going to add fire hydrants in those areas once we have a big enough line in place to supply them. So it's kind of a hybrid of a couple different projects. If those of you that were around, if you remember my presentation for the water master plan, on the water side, we've got a lot of lines to replace, and it's almost in every case because the lines are undersized.
almost all our water lines are 2-inch lines, which is barely enough to supply domestically drinking water. It's certainly not enough supply to support fire hydrants and fire flows. And so we need to upsize those lines, and in most cases we'll be upsizing from a 2 to a 6-inch. But we've got this problem all over town, and we've got $36 million worth of projected water lines that eventually have to be replaced in our service area alone. And so it's going to be a process that takes decades.
What was that number again?
I believe it's about $36 million.
Are there any, is there a possibility of new hookups in that area where we're proposing the $500,000, the new line? Do you think there might be any new development?
There could be, and our intent is while we're doing this to stub out services to all those undeveloped lots.
Yeah.
So that when they do get developed, we don't have to go back in there and tear up the street that we're going to have to pay to repave when this job's
done.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I'm driving at.
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
I have a point of interest. So if you look at 25-26 total funds budget, it was 8.517373. 26-27 is 9.234467. That's a 7.8 increase over last year. And we've talked about 11.5% increase to the customer on the sewer side. We've talked about medical insurance increases of 6.5%. Inflation, all the things that John mentioned in the last summary, including hiring an authority manager, which I'm assuming there's, and we'll talk about it in the next meeting, there's a potential for job shadow costs that would be a part of the 26-27 budget in finding your replacement.
We're targeting a 30-day overlap.
Okay.
Is what we're trying to target there.
Rochelle, just help me out here. It's no increase on the water side, but 11.5 on the sewer side. Can you boil that down to exactly why? If I had to explain that to somebody.
If we went through the spreadsheet some I could show you.
Okay.
A lot of our increases.
So it's basically the operation.
It's going to be operations.
Okay. So.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the SDC or CICs. It's just operations for the sewer fund.
All right. So if we skip over, which the pages aren't numbered, but we're going to go to.
Your highlighted one says 104.
It's at the top.
What happened?
Go to the next page.
Highlighted in yellow?
Yeah, it'll be highlighted in yellow.
Okay.
Sorry.
We're flipping to sewer operating costs, which is highlighted. You got it.
Yeah, I know, but are we going to go fund by fund, or are we going to skip back?
No. The only thing that I wanted to bring up was there was some notable increases and in cases, I think, on the water side. If you go through the water side and go to the sewer side, some of those funds actually almost doubled. like the generator, for example, it went from $40,000 total to $60,000.
Yeah. They cost a lot of money to maintain.
Well, and that's... I'm looking for an algorithm that helps you figure all this out. But I don't think there is such a thing.
I wouldn't say there is one. I know from this year's experience with the generator specifically is they came out, told us this is wrong, and we had to pick and choose which ones we fixed this year.
Okay.
Because we didn't have the money in that line item. And so we increase it for next year, so hopefully July 1st we can get some of those other things fixed. But by the time April rolls around again, it's going to be time for us to do the annual maintenance, which is about $30,000.
You know, a lot of our equipment is really old, and it's unrealistic to think that it's just going to be gradually, step by step, go up. There's going to be big hits here and there from equipment that has to be repaired, has to be replaced. And so it's not going to be a smooth little climb up the hill. There's going to be all sorts of jigs and jags and it, big increases in some places and no increase in others.
Which is a good point, because you'll actually, if you've gone through this, you'll see where there are items that were budgeted for in 25, 26 that didn't really even come close.
Right. And there, and then there's other ones that exceeded significantly.
Okay. So you've made a comment before in previous meetings, and correct me if I'm wrong in interpreting that comment, but the operation and maintenance fund to me seems somewhat fluid. In other words, if we're light in some areas, heavy in others, you can take funds from one budget item.
If it's under material and expense, all of that, it all stays together. Whether it goes over or under, it all can stay together as long as it does not exceed the whole bottom line.
Right.
So for each fund. Is that correct?
Within that box. So all of material and expense go together. All of payroll go together. So as long as you're staying within those boxes, but you can't take money from material and expense and expect it to be over in payroll. That's not going to even out, and there we would get in trouble for that.
With the exception of a possible budget.
Yes, we could do a supplemental budget or an interfund transfer.
Right. Yeah. But normally we don't do that.
We have never run into an area where we have to.
So I think what you're saying, Rochelle, is that, you know, you're always going to have these line items that have more volatility than you expected. Yeah. And, you know, one thing that's it's easy to balance the budget, or a lot easier to balance the budget when it's looked at as the whole fund.
Yeah, that too.
Instead of individual line items. Because the individual items, some we're going to go over, some we're going to go under. And so looking at the total fund and how we fared with the total fund as an average or as a balance is a lot of times the way we look at these things. Yeah. As long as what goes higher than expected is offset by line items that were used less than expected, it tends to balance out pretty well historically from what we've seen. Now, that's kind of a budget by your fingernails type of approach. But on the other hand, you're always going to experience that, right? And it's I don't know if there's any way around it. I mean, that's just always going to be a reality for us.
It is difficult to predict the future.
Well, and these figures for 26, where we are today, are through April.
It's
only through April.
So we have 2 months that haven't been paid out of this, or received or paid or whatever.
Right.
So it's going to be until we close the books on this fiscal year that we really know for sure.
Right. Yeah.
And it just has to be that way because we need a budget in place and ready to go on the first day of the next fiscal year. So how do you do that without, you know, having a meeting like this in, you know, a month and a half early, right?
And, well, and we have legal requirements to have this turned into the state before July.
Right.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so in my lightning simple mind, it's not really lightning. Tom always asks the question when we have our meetings on monthly. He says, well, how are we doing, John? Are we on budget? So if we look at 25-26 at that $8.5 million budget, This isn't like an entity that we got to go spend that money or we won't get it back.
No,
we don't operate that way.
No.
So if we're under that 8.5, we don't have to use the 8.5 million.
What happens, however, is that whatever excess was goes to the working capital for the next budget cycle.
But then can be, I don't want to say distributed, but expected in different areas of expenses. So if this year we budgeted $200,000 for something, and next year we know we need $500,000, that money can just be changed around, but it has to be July 1st. You can't do it within the fiscal year.
Which segues into my first question on the bonded debt fund.
Mm-hmm.
I notice on the...
Let me swing back there, hold on. Okay, go ahead.
2026 adopted number, our working capital was $1.761 million. And our working capital that we are proposing are $2.643 million.
Yep.
And that's a jump of 800,000 plus. Where did that 800 grand come from?
We didn't spend any money out of there.
Well,
we the only thing that comes out of there is about $700,000, one for the GO bond, one for the grant. Everything else we gain interest on, we gain capital improvement charge revenue on. We got more property tax this year than we expected to get, and it just keeps accumulating.
So that was a pretty good windfall, that $800,000.
It is.
So in your calculations, in this algorithm you have, the 3% increase in property taxes, does that translate into...
3% property tax?
Well, the state, there are counties allowed to increase property taxes 3%.
We ask for a certain amount of money. We owe our GO bond $367,000. I asked for $366,000 with the expectation that we're going to get that extra $1,000 probably in interest. And they just figure out how to get that from the property owners. I want 366. You got 1,000 people. I get 36,000 from each of you.
Okay. Well, I think if people have spent some time, they've recognized what I did. You know, some things are higher going forward. Some things we didn't use that money. It ends up being surplus in some cases. But overall, just simple numbers, 7.8% over last year, to me, does not seem unreasonable.
No, not with the increase in, I mean, our electricity went up. I don't know if you guys got that letter.
Well, one of the line items I think was insurance, which
insurance.
I don't know what insurance that is, but it was like $85,000 budgeted.
That one's our property casualty insurance, and we don't know how much that's going to go up until December 1st, because we pay it January 1st.
But you use your algorithm to figure all that out.
We kind of guess it might go up 8%. Sometimes it's 12.
And we get our insurance from SDAO or
through we do, yeah.
Which is Small Special Districts.
Special Districts, yeah.
Association of Oregon.
Which, it's great insurance, but it is costly.
Yeah. So.
Any further questions, any more discussion about the budget proposal?
Are we going to go by fund per fund, or?
Is there a need to, if everybody's comfortable with it?
No, I'm not.
Well, that's where you got the wrong chair running the meeting here.
No, that's not necessarily true.
I would say that'd be part of the, if you had a question about a particular fund, or...
Project or line item,
yeah. Yeah, I noticed that the 004 fund, which is the sewers, SDC, and CIC, we are budgeting for about $500,000 less than we had last year.
Okay, yes, that's because we have overspent this year.
We overspent last year?
Well, this current one we're working in. We have overspent.
Okay.
We expected to have 10 SDCs by now, and we have 5. If we get 5 more in the next 2 months, wonderful. And we won't have overspent. We will have extra money to use the next year.
And that's one thing that happened to us last year, is that we estimated 10 sewer SDCs and 10 water SDCs, and we got about the same number where it looks like we're heading for this year.
About 6, 7, 8,
you know, of course, one of the things you do with budgeting is, you know, if something costs more than you expect one year, the next year you budget a little more in that account, and if something didn't cost as much, you budget a little less in that account. But, you know, we can talk about whether maybe we're being a little too aggressive by estimating 10 at this point. But it's hard to say, because in the 5 years that I've been here, the only time we overestimated, it looks like it's going to be the last 2 years.
Yeah. Every year before that, we got 10 or more.
10 or more. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's another one of those things where you just look into your crystal ball.
And if we don't estimate for 10, if we estimate 5 and we got more, we can't spend that money until the next year.
Well, the variables, I guess, are the availability of property within the district, the economy, and how people feel about building a house mm-hmm. on their property, and whether they are going to wait, you know, until the last nail is driven before they hook things up.
That happens quite a bit, too.
Can you remind me, what are the sewer and water hookup fees?
Sewer right now is $9,709.
For a standard single family dwelling.
For just a standard three-quarter. Water is going to be $19,580.
And that is across the board, residential versus commercial?
As long as it's a three-quarter inch meter.
Okay.
If they think they need more, which...
I think that's all in the... Isn't that in the...
Yeah, whether you have a larger meter or not is not something that we get to determine. It's kind of like a... It's a plumbing code thing, I think. It's going to be demand inside your building.
Yeah, and there are different tiers, though, even within the same meter size. We have an apartment rate.
Right.
We have a hotel rate. If somebody wanted to build a hotel, then every unit in the hotel gets an SDC charge. But, you know, for those types of things, they're usually a little lower than what Rochelle quoted you, Kathy. But... just be aware that, you know, we do have different categories that do have slightly different dollar amounts. But what really increases the dollar amount is if you go from 3/4 to a 1-inch meter or a 2-inch meter, they go up very fast. But we, of course, in Pacific City, we don't have a lot of businesses going in that need a 2-inch water meter, right? So... but that is, you know, a factor, and the size of the meter has a much bigger impact to the total SDC cost than whether it's an apartment or a single-family dwelling or a hotel or an RV parking spot in an RV park or what have you. But we do have slightly different rates for those. But you know, but looking at the SDC history, just to tell you how hard it is to predict is, you know, the year that the Kingfisher apartments went in.
We had 32 SDCs.
32 SDCs in a single year, and we only predicted 10 that year. Mm-hmm. So it can go both ways, mm-hmm. but what... makes the budget numbers at the end of the year, you know, when our revenue is less than we expect for SDCs, mm-hmm. that's gonna make the delta between revenue and expenditures look worse. So it does have a big impact on...
And Rochelle, now, did you say that if you estimate 10 and you get 30, you can't spend that money?
You can within that
Not
that
technically,
fund.
No. Because you've already expected to get 10, so you've already expensed 10.
Right.
If
so, what happens to the other 20 that you've got? I mean,
we get to use it July 1st of the next year.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see.
In the next budget.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, we can't use it for the same fiscal year budget.
Year.
Where,
okay.
Where
it
goes
in
the
starting
revenue.
Right.
Yeah.
I would like to say again to compliment the staff for their at the end of our. Papers here, you have individual projects listed.
It's a wish list. Doesn't mean that's all going to happen.
But be that as it may, I mean, looking at last year, we did pretty much everything we wanted, with a few exceptions. To point out something specific, toward the end of it there, there's a wet well piping project for $100,000 for Ella and Cindy lift stations. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think we're going to change it to Ella and Madrona now, but yes.
You mentioned something last business meeting about some special pumps or something you had we needed a budget for this time?
Well, you know, one of the first things I did when I got here was saw the state that our lift stations were in and needed to fix that. So for the first 3 or 4 years, what we focused on was... new electrical panels, bringing the electrical up to code, new pumps, and that don't clog. And, you know, when I first came to work here, we were pulling pumps, lift station pumps, a dozen of them a day to unclog them every single day. We had a crew that's all they did for half the day, which was unsustainable. So we've upgraded the pumps. We don't pull those pumps at all anymore because we've got better pumps that are better suited for that environment. And so we replaced the pumps, we replaced the electrical panels, and we replaced the control systems from kind of an archaic float system to more of a pressure transducer system that signals when the pump should come on or go off based on the level in the wet well. But now we've got another issue at the lift stations that we are embarking on, and it'll be a multi-year project, which is the discharge piping from those lift stations. The discharge piping is falling apart. It's disintegrating. It's been repaired multiple times. Our check valves are broken. Our gate valves, our isolation gate valves are broken and don't work anymore. And so from the discharge side of the new pumps we installed up out of the wet well and into our sewer mains have to be replaced because they are, in many cases, an imminent failure. I mean, they will fail. And when they fail, they leak water back into all the water, instead of pumping out, just falls back into the lift station, and the pumps just run and run and run and run and don't get rid of any of it. So this is a big project. We just completed that project at Straub. Last year, we had completed a similar project at Kiwanda. I've got a picture of the discharge pipes that we pulled out of Straub, and remind me after the meeting to show you because it's really bad. And so now we are on a multi-year project to do those jobs, and those jobs are expensive. But we're bringing the check valves, the isolation valves, out of the wet wells. We're installing utility vaults next to the wet wells, and we're bringing that stuff all into the utility vault. And completely replacing all those discharge lines. And that is what we're talking about. That's what you referred to, Tom, is that expense. And we've done Kiwanda and Straub so far. We're set to do our Roger lift station in a few weeks. But we're only going to be able to afford to do these about two of these a year, which means we've still got about 3 years left of this. Mm-hmm. So this will be a continued effort that continues on. past my tenure. But that's what that is. That's why it's needed, and that's what that charge is, Tom.
What was the number for that, Tom?
It was wet well piping project.
And yeah, that was, but what was the dollar?
$100,000. Yes. That was on the 004 fund. Or no.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I think we're averaging, what, 50,000 per site? Is that?
Yeah, I think we budgeted 150 for that.
Well, there may be more.
Yeah.
I noticed that we've got money budgeted for shop expansion. What are we doing?
It's a wish list item. We have a bunch of trucks that sit outside and get rusted up, and it would be nice to have a roof over them.
Okay. I was just curious what you were looking at.
Well, that's all my questions.
Question about, maybe in here, but I didn't find it. We have talked about the backflow valve expenditures and amortizing that over 5 years.
Yep.
That number is in here as well?
Yeah, if you go to the next page, it's going to be right here, backflow prevention expense. Our estimation is going to be about $500 a piece to get them taken out. If we do 25 of them, 20,000 should get us there. With wiggle room for, we do a couple more. Or if it costs more than $500. Or if there's travel expense.
And 25 of them is about 20%, yeah. Which is what
we kind of thought we were going to try to get accomplished.
In 5 years, have it done.
About a five-year plan.
Yeah. So we've got that in there.
Plus that would, that fund also fixes any of our backflows that break, because we have
15
or so. And I mean, I think we replaced two or three this year just because pipes froze and they exploded.
Okay.
So one last question. We're gonna, it's on this rolling stock, you're talking about replacing 06. Is that, what is that?
It's a pickup.
It's just a pickup. Yeah. I mean, it's not another one of our.
It's not a great big one. No, it's just a utility truck. It's seen a lot better days.
Well, it's 06. It's probably got.
It's 20 years old, yeah.
Yeah, it's getting old.
Yeah, I think our next oldest utility truck is a 2014.
Yeah. So it's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's along the same lines. No, I don't think it is. But you had wastewater pumping in there, and I'm thinking, didn't we buy a vehicle that is going to be able to pump wastewater if we need to pump wastewater?
I think we're talking about pumping out septic tanks there. Oh. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For the step systems?
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't do that ourselves just because the
disposal
is so expensive.
And we don't want to dump septage into the headworks of the treatment plant either.
Absolutely not.
It'll upset the plant, among other things.
Might jam things up.
Well, it's a lot of BOD loading on that septic.
I can't find it now, but there was a under. Oh, it's on the water operating. I didn't quite understand how OIT and Operator 1 and how those numbers would go from Operator 1 year-to-date, year-to-date April 85-21, and then it's budgeted for $37,000.
So,
same with OIT. OIT is back the other way around.
Right. So a lot of that depends on where the employee is working, and we base it on. So I took from April last year to April this year. The percentage of where they work in water versus where they work in sewer, their pay rate, their expected raise or merit increases that they're going to get this year, and tried to figure out what their salary might be.
Oh, that algorithm again.
Yeah, I can send you that one.
What's the matter with
you? Well, there is a method to the madness.
That method doesn't usually work, though, because then you get to the next year, and the guy that was working in water all year moved over to the wastewater. Messed up my whole plan. And then if for some reason somebody gets promoted, if they have enough merits and years on the job, they get to move up the line sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, we were talking about, I think this year we promoted three people. Based on tenure, performance, certifications that they're going after.
Yeah, I saw that too, Dan, and I figured that's what that was.
That's good.
Yeah.
So I have a question about professional services. So our numbers are taking a big jump.
Is there a certain one water receiver?
Well, we've got 40,000 for sewer and 80,000 for water.
One of them doubled. I saw that.
So we usually budget 40,000 just so that we have something
right
there. A lot of times that's surveyors. I know in the water side it is our water conservation plan stuff, GIS doing the stream flow gauging, and now we are possibly contracting with them to do the water study thing we might get a loan for. I can't remember what that is. So that's going to come out of that money.
The grant we applied for?
Horn Creek.
But, you know, and I don't know how we account for grant dollars to pay for something like that within our budget, but...
I don't know, with them applying for it for us, are they a middleman, or...
Well,
are
I mean...
they going to receive the money and just give it that way, or we just give them a $70,000 check?
You know, that's a good question, because I'm not sure either. Will we be the recipients of the grant, and then we pay... use it to pay their services,
or are they the recipient on behalf of us?
Are they the recipient on behalf of us, and the job's paid for in advance?
Yeah, exactly.
One of the two, but we've also need to start doing some a better job of monitoring our groundwater supplies. Doing drawdown tests on the wells, recovery tests on the wells, and
that's an outside agency that does that?
Well, it's an outside agency that will get us to the point we can do that ourselves, but we need a consultant to make sure that what we're doing is the way it's supposed to be done, and it's just a way to monitor the health of our aquifers, where our wells are, and to the drawdown test, you fire up the well and it draws the well down, and then you do some monitoring to determine how fast it recovers. And then that indirectly gives you, it's one data point to tell you how healthy your aquifer is, how viable your well sites are, and not just now, but trending it to see how they perform, year to year to year, so that we can see trends and determine in advance if we're losing capacity on one of our well sites and have to think about finding alternate sites to drill new wells. And things of that nature. So that's another thing that professional services on the waste or on the drinking water side.
And then on the wastewater side, we have the mixing zone study.
We have a mixing zone study that we have to do as part of our new our new wastewater discharge permit. So that would also be professional services.
Okay, so I'm sure it's here and I just can't see it. The auditor, the human resources company.
Operations and maintenance.
Operations and maintenance.
Yes, it's going to be 104 and 105. I believe. Keep going this way. We've got accounting and auditing for the auditors, and then I believe. HR's taking out contract services.
What is coming out
of human resources.
Okay, and so all the expenses that are going to be related to replacing John.
I don't know if we're talking about now, but later, but we should. If we hire a...
You saw some numbers.
If we hire a person, it's going to be coming out of miscellaneous.
The $20,000 miscellaneous?
Yeah. That's how much it cost us. to get, it was 13 to get John, but that's because we only went through one round of interviews with Kurt.
Seems like somebody owes me $7,000.
And we have to pay another $7,000. The manager we had before John.
Okay. All right, but it's a good question, Kathy, because it was stated in John's presentation that
internet.
Part of the reason for increase
it's not
is
very good here.
New authority manager,
yeah.
Inflation, cost of goods, all those kinds of things. And I was hoping that, you know, it's in here.
I forgot to add that when you asked about the 11.5%. Well, we have to hire somebody still.
We do. And if, let's say, somebody from New York applies and we have to bring them out here from New York for interviews and bob them, yep. Put them up and pay for their...
Yep.
Airplane ticket. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to add up to a hunk of change. So
the base,
we have enough
the base fee that, and we're going to talk about it later, but you're right. It can be a chunk of change. There's a high likelihood it will be.
Well, it's kind of a given that everything's going to be more next year.
That's
just because everything's gone crazy.
Any other questions and comments regarding Max? So, you know, I'd like to throw some out there. So, because, you know, I know when you were first looking at it, you know, you were talking about, you know, the cost of things and how they're going up. And I think you were kind of hinting that should we consider a bigger increase, or maybe also an increase on the water side. Rochelle, just for my benefit as much as anything, I mean, just summarize once again for us why you think the increase on the sewer side is appropriate based off of our financial performance so far this year, and why no increase on the water side is also justified as well.
Because you're going to get calls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're going to get people that are going to have an issue.
We don't get that many calls, knock on wood. But.
So you better have your elevator speech ready.
And on average, how much is that increase in sewer in real dollars?
In real dollars is $5.19.
A month?
That's what we will see on your base rate. So we'll be like
it's
110.90.
Yeah.
For 111.0 something.
Yeah, I think it's 111 something.
Yeah, it's a $5 increase.
Yeah. And did you all see that City of Tillamook increased their sewer rates by 35%?
No, but I'm not surprised.
That doesn't mean we want to mimic that, but it's just a sign that costs are going up for everybody, I think.
Yeah.
I just heard today Tierra Del Mar, which is a private
That's
outfit. They're having a very large increase in their water rates.
It's time.
But it hasn't been raised in years.
They haven't been allowed to.
Right.
But now that they sold,
yes,
they're open to the Oregon Public Utility Market or whatever, and they're allowed to raise their rate.
Yeah, I think they actually drilled some wells or something. I heard a rumor.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Oh, good.
They need it.
I think I saw something about that. There was a post even on Facebook from somebody. I think it was like 37% or something. It's huge with their increases. What they're asking.
Yeah, that's what my point was, that that a neighboring town is having a large increase to about what we're charging.
No.
Right, yeah. They're almost close to us.
They're close,
Yeah. Well, is everybody comfortable with the rate increase? I think we need it, Rochelle. I mean, your algorithm, it's just because our costs are up and that side of the things, right? And it's all out of 104 and 105, which is our operating costs.
Yeah.
And the only way we get money to supplement those funds is from rates. We can't use SDC dollars to offset that.
Right.
SDC dollars are earmarked only for capital improvement projects. Mm-hmm. So
you can throw in their fuel costs have gone sky high too. So.
Yeah, fuel costs, electricity, labor costs. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, have gone up for us.
you know, it sounds like, you know, that's about where we landed. I mean, we want to keep up. We want to keep any rate increase as low as possible, but you factored in that that's about what it looks like we need to offset our increased costs. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. 111.05.
Well, then, if everybody's kind of in agreement, I'd like to make a motion to accept the budget as presented.
I move that we accept the budget for 2026-27 as presented.
Okay, I'll second it.
Well done, Tom.
Okay, Dan.
Okay, with that, then we... All those in favor of accepting the 26-27 budget as written?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? 26-27 budget proposal carried. Okay, don't go anywhere, but we're adjourning the 26-27 budget meeting.
At 6:10 p.m.
6:10 p.m.
Are you having a meeting now?
We are.
Okay, so I'm leaving. Okay. Hey, that guy was here for the watershed.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, they have
a meeting. Well, they were supposed to have a meeting at 5:30. I don't know if he was late or they changed.